I'm getting even more short on time right now, so instead of recommending a 10th comic, because I think I've already given you more than enough here, I'm going to dive straight in into the second installment of my kicking and screening. We're covering the next three episodes of Glee, so that would be episodes 2, 3, and 4, which were Showmance, Acafellas, and Preggers. Now, R.W. Mead did not do a post on Friday, obviously, but if you click above my audio file, you can see his opinion on it because he has recorded a kicking and screening segment this week. Anyway, I'm going to dive right in to what I thought of these episodes. Now, I'm a little rusty because I actually watched these episodes around 2 weeks ago because we didn't do a Sugar Tomatoes post 2 weeks ago when I would have recorded this because my first kicking and screening segment was pre-recorded when I was on spring break. So I'm a little rusty on these episodes, so forgive me if I get details wrong. But R.W. Mead's excellent summary up above did help, and I really hope he continues doing that impression of the previously on Glee things, because in addition to providing a great summary of the episode, they also are hilarious. I was on the floor when I heard that. But anyway, first we had Showmance, which focused more on Rachel and Quinn than the previous episodes. Obviously, for at least for this season, they're going to be the main characters, although I am told that as the series goes on, we focus more on Kurt, which is interesting. But so we had Showmance, which was basically where we found out that Rachel really was pining for Quinn and that Quinn had gotten I've been saying Quinn all this time and I meant Finn. Oh my God. But Rachel was pining for Finn. Why do they have two characters that sound so similar? Rachel was pining for Finn, at which point Finn discovered that he had impregnated his Cheerio girlfriend, Quinn. So in addition to Mr. Schuster's pregnancy fiasco now, which we found out a couple episodes later was fake, we also got a glimpse into this whole triangle that's forming between Puck, Quinn, and Finn. So, what did I think of, let's go with Showmance first. I did think that although I agree with the message about sex education, it was a little heavy-handed and forced and felt kind of out of place here, especially from Rachel. Maybe that's the point that she's like really liberal and in your face and this larger-than-life sort of character, but at the same time, I had to scratch my head, so there's my first little point. Second point that I wanted to make. I was surprised that you didn't really talk much about the musical numbers in any of these episodes, so I think I'm going to focus more on those today, since I do agree a lot with what you said about the actual plot of the show. One point I wanted to make really quickly, too, is that I really do agree with you that the focus of these characters are really skewed. I mean, you have characters like Kurt and Quinn and Finn, and Rachel, who get a lot of focus, and then you've got Artie and Mercedes and Tina, who are just kind of shifted into the background and get to pick up the scraps of whatever the episode calls for. They're not really that prominent. And you would think that in an episode and in a series itself that features such an ensemble cast, they would be more focused on splitting that time up evenly. And I'm very disheartened to hear that even from someone like you who has watched the entire show, this balance has not been kept in check. So this results in a very obtuse, bottlenecked show where you get three or four characters that are insanely well-developed, like Kurt's whole struggle with his sexuality, like Quinn and Finn and their pregnancy fiasco, like Mr. Schuster and his trying to reclaim his glory days. And then you've got, like, Mercedes, who's basically, and I hate to use this terminology, but the ghetto chick. So, as far as musical numbers, we got Kanye West's Gold Digger, which I really enjoy. And I'm not much of a rap fan, but this was kinetic enough for me that I could really kind of get into it. The guy who plays Will Schuster, whoever that is, did a fantastic job rapping. And I was surprised at that. When I first heard, oh, they're going to do a rap song, I thought, this is going to be insanely horrible, this is going to be insanely horrible, this is going to be insanely horrible. And it was actually pretty passable. We also had the episode-ending performance of Salt-N-Pepa's Push It, which was weird. I think it was supposed to be uncomfortable, so if that's what it was aiming for, mission accomplished, because I was just like, what the crap is going on? We had Rihanna's Take a Bow, which was basically there to be a montage song. I thought it pretty much everything that Rachel sings alone kind of seems bland to me. I enjoy the show for its show choir aspects, and I don't enjoy it when it usually goes for straight ballads that just focus on one or two characters. We also have I Say a Little Prayer, which the Cheerios did, but I actually thought was really good. I didn't expect Quinn to be that good of a singer. She's just kind of there to be the thin blonde antagonist. I really like how Ryan Murphy and the show's other writers are setting up all of these subplots and then crashing them into each other and layering them on top of each other as time goes on. Which brings us to Acapellas, which was focusing more on Will Schuster and his trying to reclaim his glory days. As far as musical numbers, we've got This Is How We Do It, Poison. I'm going to kind of lump those two together because they were basically more kind of rap, Beastie Boys-esque numbers. I didn't really like the rapping so much in this episode. The plot itself was hilarious. Whoever plays the former Glee teacher, I know they're going for a stereotypical gay or bi character here, but even though his character is annoying, the way that he plays it is so funny. So I'm going to, moving on, we also had Bust Your Windows, which I'm going to come out and say it. It's nothing against her actor, but Mercedes' character is so weak in this show. I'm all for diversity, but if you're going to include a token black character just to be a token black character, then really? Just really? I did like the relationship she was kind of developing with Kurt as kind of this almost motherly sort of figure, especially since, as we learn in a later episode, he doesn't have a mother. His mother has passed away. But beyond that, there is really nothing to Mercedes, and this is no more evident in Bust Your Windows, in which she just goes on this random 5-minute breakup tirade about Kurt's car, and it was intolerable and unbearable. It was everything that everyone who hates Glee hates about Glee. And at its core, I like this show, but it's moments like this that just make me shake my head. Like, what are we thinking in making the character development, as I said, this obtuse? Can we please give Mercedes anything to do? I don't care what direction you take her character, but please don't make her the token black chick. There is so much more that you can do, Ryan Murphy. Please. We also had another performance from a rival vocal group who did Mercy. I really like the song Mercy by Duffy. And I guess I'm kind of biased in that I really like this version. Like the original version. But this version was, I guess, passable. It didn't really stand out to me. We also had plot side of things. As I mentioned prior, we had a lot of love triangle drama between Quinn, who is now like a secret Cheerio agent in the Glee Club, Finn, and Rachel, and we had that love triangle developing. But in addition, we also had this quasi-relationship between Mercedes and Kurt that only lasts one episode, this kind of deep friendship. It's not really a romantic thing, it's more platonic. But Kurt also comes out as gay in this episode. I thought the scene itself was really good, really intimate, really emotional, and really handled well. But the next episode that we're going to talk about kind of ruins it. As far as Preggers goes, which is that next episode, we learn that Quinn is pregnant. But it's more, by and large, about Kurt's struggle with his sexuality. We're introduced to Bert, played by Mike O'Malley, who is his dad, and I didn't know Mike O'Malley could act this well. I mean, I think we all knew him, basically, at least if you're around my age, as that guy from Nickelodeon Guts. And I did notice how they were mentioning Guts several times in the episode prior to when he appeared. But just to, I know Ryan Murphy himself is gay, but just to have Kurt dancing to Single Ladies and Tight Spandex, literally the first scene after he comes out, just seemed kind of heavy-handed, really out of character, and not what I expected. The portrayal of gay characters in our media, while Glee is definitely a step forward, I feel like Glee kind of is ruled way too much by stereotypes. You see that in Mercedes, you see that in Artie, who's kind of the weak disabled character, which I really have a problem with, but we'll get to that when we get to his centric episode, Wheels, which I actually have seen bits and pieces of. But this kind of seemed heavy-handed. It did grow on me, however, as the episode went on, and we got more intimacy between Kurt and his father, Bert. It really kind of struck me how Mike O'Malley played his reaction to Kurt's coming out, because he wasn't like, oh, days of our lives, we all walk happily into the sunset. He was freaked out. And generally, in my experience, when you do that to people, they're freaked out. It doesn't matter if they're going to accept you later or not, but nobody ever just is totally, oh, I expected that. And he did the whole, well, are you sure about this thing? I did like how it was clear that he's not going to be the homophobic antagonist father like you usually see characters like this being. And there's definitely more of a wrinkle to his character. I'd like to see Glee do this more and more often, where they take a character that is a stereotype and subvert that stereotype. But judging by Mercedes, Artie, and even, I can't even remember her name, she's so badly written. Tina! I keep forgetting Tina's name. But even Tina, who is kind of your stereotypical silent, quiet, bashful Asian, I'm so fed up with the stereotypes on the show. I don't mean to imply that I don't like it. I mean, the musical numbers are great. Josh Groban's little cameo was hilarious. And I will continue watching the show, and I do like it. But every time they play way too close to the stereotypical third rail, they get a little bit of a shock, and it definitely shows in the wider context of the show. So overall, am I liking Glee? Yes. Would I like it 10 times more if it started subverting stereotypes? Definitely. That about wraps up this episode of Sugared Tomatoes. As always, you can contact R.W. Mead on Twitter at R.W. Mead. You can contact me on Twitter at Tomato Surprise. You can contact the blog's official Twitter account at Sugared Tomatoes. You can email us for longer inquiries by going to sugaredtomatoes@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment down below. I know this episode was more bare bones than we usually take it, but it will get better next week. I had a charity hockey game yesterday, which I will show you pictures and video of on next Sunday, and I will tell you what exactly sled hockey is and why it's so important to me. So, in comments, have you read any of the comics that I talked about today? If not, which ones do you want to try out? Which ones aren't floating your boat that much? Are you watching Glee with us? If you are, what are you thinking about how the show is going and how these subplots seem to gradually be merging? And also, in the future, what other stuff would you like to see us do on Sugared Tomatoes? We're always open for suggestion. In particular, I am looking for various chick tracks to do on the Jack Chick Zone. So if you have any suggestions for those, go ahead and leave titles in the comments and I'll probably be able to find them. Thanks for listening.